it's my understanding that since I communicated with you via email to confirm tonight's time, and right now LaShawn McCoy has committed or signed with, I guess, Miami?
Yeah, according
to CFTV.com,
he committed to Miami over Penn State, USC, and Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I thought, I mean, again, it was my understanding, and I don't know anywhere near as much as, I didn't know Miami was on his radar. I thought it was either Virginia Tech or Penn State it was going to come down to, and I know Tech felt real good about its chances.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, we know he's already in prep school. He's not going anywhere until 2007 anyway. But did the Miami thing surprise you?
Yeah, I think it's definitely surprising, especially kind of given last week's information. It seemed like Virginia Tech was kind of the school that if he was going to commit this year, then he would probably commit to Virginia Tech. Just in terms of, I know you had mentioned it, and there were a lot. You know, it just seemed like Virginia Tech was in pretty good position, particularly after the not so good official visit to Penn State. But Miami was always on the list in terms of a team he was talking about taking an official visit to. I believe he took an unofficial visit there, but I'm not totally positive on that. I'm pretty sure he did. I think it is a surprise that he chose Miami. They were a school that was kind of a school that he mentioned a lot, and that they were kind of almost always in there when he did mention schools that he was going to take visits to. But not a school really that was the outright favorite or anything like that. And it definitely was a surprise. At the same time, I don't know if he's even going to sign today. I talked to his the head coach at Milford Academy, Bill Chaplick, earlier this week, and he mentioned to me that he thought he was just announcing a decision and announcing a commitment as opposed to actually signing a letter of intent, which he's going to have to stay at Milford for an entire year. Starting next fall, he's there right now. He'll finish out this year, and then he'll start again and go one more year there. So still, it wouldn't matter if he did sign a letter of intent. But so we'll see if he sticks to it or if he decides to take some more visits. But if he doesn't take any more visits, it looks like he's going to Miami.
Yeah, I don't think that's done. I'm with you. I mean, he's going to be, even if he does sign, you can still get recruited if you haven't, a letter of intent is valid for 1 year.
Right.
Like those kids that enrolled last month at Tech after signing last year, they didn't have to re-sign anything. But Todd Nolan, for instance, who signed last year and again this year, did. So he'll be open to re-recruiting. I don't think that one's anywhere near done. Now, interesting week at Lee County High. Tell us a little bit. Joey Hall committed over the weekend, right?
Yep, Joey Hall actually committed earlier this week. I believe it was on the days are flying by, that's for sure. Monday or Tuesday, whenever he got an offer from Virginia Tech, and he quickly accepted it. Virginia Tech was his childhood favorite. He's always rooted for Virginia Tech, and he's a player that kind of recently came on the radar. Virginia Tech was recruiting his teammate Dennis Godfrey, who's a 6'3", 240-pound tight end prospect, tight end slash defensive line prospect. He really shot up the recruiting charts with his Shrine Bowl performance during that whole week. He really impressed a lot of coaches with his practice and just did very well, earned some offers, and Virginia Tech was one of them, and along with Clemson, South Carolina, Virginia, NC State, North Carolina, all those guys were in the mix. And then Wake Forest was a school Dennis had committed to in the summer, so Dennis went and made some more official visits, which ended with an official visit to Virginia Tech this past weekend. But I guess back to Joey Hall. when Virginia Tech went up to visit Godfrey one day, I know Coach Stauffer, who was Lee County's head coach, gave them some a DVD, I guess, during his senior season, and they took it back, looked at it, really impressed them. They brought Joey in for an official visit on the weekend of the 20th. He had a good time. He had a very good time and made no bones about it that he was going to commit to Virginia Tech if offered. And it turns out that he was able to get that offer this week and accepted it. So Hall is a 6'3", 246-pound or 250-pound prospect. He played defensive end in high school, had about 75 tackles, including 10 sacks and 10 tackles for loss as a senior. And he projects, though, as a defensive tackle. And I asked him to describe himself, and he described himself as a player with quick hands, a nonstop motor, and he says he likes to play mean out there. So he's looking forward to getting to Tech and kind of showing that he was certainly deserving of that scholarship and kind of maybe proving people who rated him kind of low wrong. So I think he's happy to be at Tech, and he's got a high motor. His teammate Dennis Godfrey actually kind of solidified his commitment to Wake Forest and signed with them today. So that's kind of where everything went with that. But Hall is certainly a player that's loving today. He's very excited to be a Hokie.
Yeah, I talked to Jim Cavanaugh earlier in the day for not so much for my story tomorrow, but for some notes and to get some other information. And he said they were excited about it, and they always get a couple of guys. They look under rocks a little bit and get guys who are off the radar and not mm-hmm. ranked as high, because I know I got a couple emails and people asking me. I think it was Virginia Tech and, like, maybe Elon, not one of your powers. But, you know, he said there's always a couple guys that you got to project. You're putting a crystal ball a little bit, and they like the way this kid has come on. And, you know, they're experts. Jim Cavanaugh has been recruiting 36 years, so he knows how to look a kid and see maybe this is not what it should be now, but there's a good chance it'll get there. And they were pretty excited about this kid, more so than you'd think for a kid who, like you say, quite frankly, isn't ranked as high as some of the others. But, his teammate.
I think certainly Virginia Tech wasn't alone in terms of showing some interest. I know Virginia, Wake Forest, and East Carolina were schools that had shown a lot of interest in Joey. I guess didn't bring him on for an official visit, but Virginia Tech obviously liked what they saw a lot and think he's got some potential. And with the defensive line class that they brought in, certainly they can certainly take a chance on somebody that has potential. He's got pretty solid size already at 6'3", 250, and he's got very good work ethic. In my sense that he'll come out with obviously something to prove and really work his tail off and who knows, he could develop into that player that Coach Cavanaugh was talking about, one of those guys who is kind of a little bit off the radar. And one thing about Joey was he didn't get the amount of exposure that Dennis did at the Shrine Bowl combines actually last spring, because Joey participates in track and field, so he had those obligations to take care of first of all. But so he didn't get a whole lot of looks there. He wasn't there, and then he had a very good senior season as well. So we'll see if obviously he's a prospect Virginia Tech felt was worthy to take a chance on, and with, as I mentioned, with they have a very very impressive defensive line class coming in my opinion. So I think certainly it's worth taking a shot.
Now, as you mentioned, his teammate Dennis Godfrey is going to Wake, which was where he originally said he was going.
Mm-hmm.
Damon McDaniel has gotten off the Florida train, but he's going to the Sunshine State, to Florida State. McCoy to Florida State. Young man Marino is at the running back from up that way, is going to Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Reggie Ball's brother is going to Florida State. So it looks like there were a lot of misses. Now, there's some more details involved on that. You're not going to get everybody, but one player Tech did get, and it's funny, I'm not even, Frank Beamer was talking about Adjapong from New Jersey, and the new commitment this week, okay, you say it. You know who I'm talking about, from South Carolina.
Right.
The kid from Georgia who had committed to South Carolina.
That's right, yep.
And signed with Tech. We talked about him last week. Frank has his pronunciation down real, real, real clear. It's funny, he said, when you're pretty good players, you learn how to say your names. I've been practicing up. Well, I'm going to worry about spelling it right. You tell me, you say it.
His name is Olufemi Ajiboy, and he actually goes by Lottie.
L-A-D-I, Lottie, yeah.
That's right, that's
I
right.
I can say
is,
that.
It's a nickname which was kind of derived from his middle name. So he told me I can call him whatever I want to. So I went for Lottie a little since it was easier. But he was an excellent prospect for Virginia Tech, and you just mentioned some of the losses. Such as, you know, LeSean McCoy to Miami, Marcus Ball to Florida State. Virginia Tech obviously also lost Bud Thacker, who was a defensive tackle prospect for Virginia Tech, to Florida State. So to be able to land a player of Ajiboy's caliber, who had a fantastic senior season, really he was bumped up in the rivals' ranks to a four-star prospect. He had offers from Louisville, Illinois, South Carolina, as you mentioned, which he originally committed to before taking a visit to Virginia Tech. To land a player of his caliber, he's 6'2", 290 pounds, moves well, a very, very good defensive tackle prospect after missing out on Thacker, something that It's tough to do, honestly, this late in the process. But Virginia Tech was right there with Ajiboye throughout the whole way. So once Thacker left, it's not like they were starting from scratch with Ajiboye. So a very, very solid pickup there, and certainly it makes it all the more significant with the fact that Thacker ended up choosing Florida State.
Did I miss anybody? Who else have we talked about in the past week that has gone somewhere else? Now, Dakota Watson, the linebacker defensive end from Aiken, South Carolina, where did he end up?
He ended up at Florida State as well.
Good Lord. Must be the weather down there. Everybody is heading down to Florida.
Well, it's interesting. Florida State is a team that every single year, for as long as I've covered recruiting and even when I just was following it casually before, it's always Florida State. Day before signing day or signing day, you see Florida State just finish strong, and it happened again this year. You mentioned Damon McDaniel and officially committed to them last night, and then he signed with them today. And then of course Marcus Ball, who was Virginia Tech, was heavily in the mix for with him. It was down to Miami, Florida State, Virginia Tech. And Marcus ended up choosing Florida State. So, of course, Dakota Watson was another player who really took off at that Shrine Bowl, the North Carolina-South Carolina Shrine Bowl, and had a very, very good week. And Florida State came in with an offer, and Florida State was a school that was his childhood favorite as well. But he did take at least most of his visits, including one to Virginia Tech, before choosing Florida State. But it certainly is tough to really ever count out Florida State when they're involved with a prospect, especially with how well they can close recruiting-wise.
I was in Frank Beamer's office today for his session with the media. A lot of guys were on the phone, and Jimmy Robertson and I were in the office. We got a little time with him afterward, but it's interesting because you couldn't hear what was being asked. You can only hear his responses, but it was clear somebody was asking him, and I don't know if it was somebody from South Carolina area or whatever, about them staying on him after he committed to South Carolina. And basically, how could he say anything about Florida State when Thacker went there? And he indicated that he went there, had a visit scheduled to Tech, and South Carolina, he made the commitment, but called and said, I still want to come visit. I want you to recruit me.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank says, our deal is if the kid tells us, no, don't recruit me anymore, I am going to whatever, they will do that. But if he says, continue to recruit me, they will. And he said, the way it works now, you almost have to protect yourself. If you back off everybody, people aren't backing off yours,
Mm-hmm.
You make a reservation here, but you're looking somewhere else. I know, and you know how I feel about this whole issue, but he seems to feel the same way, but it's just become a necessary animal. And I know we'll talk after the break about Virginia. Virginia had a couple guys decommit. But Frank's theory is you got to, because if you don't, everybody's going to go running by you. It seems like there are a couple of schools in particular.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. I just think, especially nowadays with as many decommitments that happen, commitments and decommitments, and it seems like it's happening more commonly each year almost. And then, if a player tells you that he wants to come for a visit, you almost have to, keep recruiting him. And it's kind of the nature of the game today.
I want to get your assessment of both the state schools since you cover them. We're going to run in tomorrow's paper some information from Rivals in the ACC Area Sports Journal, and I'll get into these more specifically overall later in the show. But Rivals ranks as of 5 o'clock, and that changes hourly based on late editions. Virginia Tech, 32nd nationally, Virginia 39th. Give you their ACC listings. Florida State is third, Clemson 14, Miami 16, Maryland 29, North Carolina 30, Tech 32nd, BC 37, Virginia 39, Duke 54, Georgia Tech 55, NC State 56, and Wake 72. ACC Area Sports Journal thinks a little more highly of the Hokies, tied for fourth with North Carolina, and that Virginia is tied for seventh with Boston College. Virginia Tech first. I guess you can't consider the five other guys, just the 21 who signed now, or the 19 plus the two new ones who enrolled in January. What's your take of the class overall? Frank Beamer said he wanted one more offensive lineman and a tailback, but he got Kenny Lewis. He seemed pleased, but he always seems pleased.
Yeah, I think in terms of the filling the needs, offensive line was a need that we talked about at the beginning, kind of way back last year. And obviously they got off to a great start, Virginia Tech did, in landing Aaron Brown. As you mentioned, he's already enrolled, or he enrolled in January at Virginia Tech. One of the top offensive tackle prospects in the country. He chose Virginia Tech over Auburn, Notre Dame, Ohio State, among many, many offers, many Division I-A offers. And 6'6", 285 pounds, and has those long arms for an offensive tackle, so he's got a lot of potential. Really got off to a great start with Brown, as well as Clark Crum, another Ohio prospect. Crum is a little bit more of a project, I guess. He's 6'7", 282 pounds, but he has, obviously, he's got, as he told me, the more he plays, the better he gets, and I think obviously that's the case with anybody. But just Crum, based on his size, has a lot of potential. At 6'7", 282 pounds, offensive tackle, it looks like where he's going to end up. I think a year of redshirting, learning the system, kind of learning how to play a little bit more, and kind of enhancing his abilities can only help him. And then they got kind of a blue-collar guy, and Bo Warren, who's a 6'4", 260-pound offensive lineman, who could play, could end up at center depending on how much weight he can actually put on the next level. And Bo was a very, very good high school football prospect in terms of his potential. Don't know if he has a tremendous amount of potential ceiling in terms of on the next level, but he is a hard-working prospect. He's very good, and I expect him to be a solid contributor for Virginia Tech anyway. And so I agree with the statement. I think Virginia Tech could have used one more offensive lineman, and they're in great shape for a couple of them. It kind of just didn't really go their way with Lou Iliadis, who I know you had a chance to see in person. Was really, really high on Virginia Tech. I thought they had a good chance to land him on the weekend of his official visit, which was the Miami weekend, and didn't work out that weekend for him. And still had Virginia Tech high on his list after that. But once Penn State really kind of started coming into the mix, first of all, Notre Dame came in, and he was pretty interested in Notre Dame, and then Penn State, which was kind of on his list and kind of off his list kind of throughout. Then they really came in strong. He had a great couple of visits there, an unofficial visit as well as an official visit, and Penn State was able to land him. And then Hutch Eckerson, who was just blown away by his South Carolina official visit, which really sealed the deal for South Carolina. Virginia Tech was his favorite heading into that weekend, but he just got along really well with a lot of the recruits that were there, recruits as in the committed players at the time. And I know he mentioned that was a big factor for him, and just had a great official visit, which is kind of why you say when a player takes an official visit, anything can happen, because they can get blown away like that. And then South Carolina really just Virginia Tech had the visit the next weekend. I think Hutch had a good visit to Virginia Tech, but obviously I think South Carolina was still stuck in his mind. And so if Virginia Tech would have been able to land one of those two prospects, I think that would have certainly solidified that need at offensive line, although they did get, as I mentioned, a very solid player in Bo Warren, a player who has a lot of potential in Clark Crum, and, of course, one of the blue-chip four-star players in the country in Aaron Brown.
Virginia, how bad did these recent decommits hurt? What kind of class did Virginia have?
I think Virginia, in terms of ratings, you mentioned that they're 39. They didn't get they got a few star players, Joe Torches, who is a four-star tight end out of New Jersey. But in terms of some kind of star quality, they didn't really get that, but they did fill some needs. I know linebacker, Virginia, it seems like obviously it's a need for Virginia every year, but in terms of depth, they really needed to have a productive year this year at the linebacker position, needed to upgrade some athleticism at the linebacker position. I really like what they did there in terms of landing George Johnson, Armando Sewell, who are two New Jersey kids who are very athletic, John Bivens out of Prince George, who is extremely athletic, 6'2", 210 pounds, probably going to end up as an outside linebacker for Virginia. A strong player in John Kevin Dulce out of St. Anthony's High School in New York. He's probably going to end up as an outside linebacker, but he could end up as an inside guy as well. So Virginia was able to do very well, and they did get some some athleticism in this class as well, including Rico Bell, who's a 5'10", 180-pound safety prospect. He was timed at the Blacksburg Nike camp in 4.37 in the 40. So Virginia did add a lot of athleticism and a lot of some speed, which will definitely help them. But in terms of the classes, Virginia Tech, I'd probably give Virginia Tech certainly the edge. I really like what Virginia Tech did, as I mentioned earlier, on the defensive side of the ball, especially the defensive line that landed a lot of polished players who I think have a lot of star potential, such as Jason Adjupong and Daryl Robertson. I really like John Graves as well. I've mentioned that before. And at linebacker, I really like Matt Wright as well. I think he's going to be an excellent player for Virginia Tech. So I do think Virginia's class, though, while it's not as highly rated, I do think they were successful in filling some needs and in some key areas and adding some athleticism as well.
Frank was really high on Adjupong, but I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that he's learned how to say his name. Just didn't. Sounds like he's a terrific player. Now, let me ask you this. We talked about it some last week, but I want to get your take again on this because the state exodus just blows me away. Frank talked about it being just a one-year thing, a lot of kids where it wasn't important that they'll continue to hit the state hard. But, man, 9 of the top 10 out of state.
Yeah, I just kind of agree. I think it's the kind of a 1 year phenomenon. I think it was certainly not a good year at all, and certainly I can see the point where somebody may think it's a trend just because of how many players, and you mentioned such as 9 out of the top 10. But it just seemed like a lot of those players in the top 10, Percy Harvin, first of all, Evan Royster, both of those kids were really talking out of state the whole way. Brandon Miner was talking out of state early, as was Damon McDaniel. Both McDaniel and Miner, more so McDaniel, really considered Virginia Tech later in the process. But as you mentioned, McDaniel ended up going to Florida State, and Miner chose Michigan, and Miner just decided that he really wanted to go out of state, so that's where he wanted to go. So, and then there were a few other kind of interesting situations, such as Brian Whitmore going to Maryland. but typically, I just think it's kind of a one-year phenomenon. I think they were just these kids just really, the kids that I've mentioned really kind of had it in their minds, maybe the exception of Whitmore, that they really wanted to go out of state kind of from the beginning, and that's kind of what ended up transpiring. So I'd be surprised if this is a trend, though, and obviously we'll find out in the coming years, but at this point I think it's probably just a one-year occurrence, and I expect Virginia Tech and Virginia both to rebound in state, particularly next year and in the coming years.
All right, final thing for you, Chris Horn, on the final TechSideline.com recruiting report of the 2006 recruiting year. We immediately flip-flop. We're in the 2007 recruiting year because you know it never ends. They sign the papers and move on. When are we going to get the first commitment for next year? Because you know people are going to get antsy if it's not in another day or two.
I don't know. We'll see. I think the trend is certainly to commit early. It seems like a lot of players are committing early, but we'll see. I think towards usually the first commitment will come. There's usually some junior days and things like that over the next couple months, and then the May evaluation period is certainly a period where an offer is extended, and if a player really wants to go to that school and that's kind of his dream school, that's where he'll commit. So May for sure, I think you can probably expect some things to happen, but you never know before that. It seems like it's getting earlier and earlier, that's for sure. So that's why recruiting never stops. It's a year-round thing, and I'm sure the coaches are already they've already been focused on 2007 as well, I'm sure, in addition to 2006, but now they'll be fully focused on 2007.
All right, well, get out of here. Go enjoy a cold one. You've earned it after your hard day today and your great recruiting coverage all year. And like I say, wipe your brow, take a deep breath, and then gear up for 2007.
That's right. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you, Chris Horn, with another excellent installment of the TechSideline.com recruiting report.